The highlights from the Hirsch-Statlander match look awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a good match. It was just one of those where I kind of paid too much attention to it because I was trying to get the... Like, it came on. Well, fuck, let's just get into this.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. All right. You had a really cool all right in the last episode. I don't even know what... Yeah, it was like towards the end.
I had an all right.
Yeah, you went like, all right. But it was like a voice you've never done before.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, so now you're going to try to attempt it again and fail miserably. Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's why I'm the favorite host. Anyway. Mm-hmm.
And your daughter wants to slap me in the face because I...
Because you hate women?
Apparently.
Just waiting it out for a sec. My dogs are sleeping.
My dogs are on some shit.
All right. Welcome to It's All Pro Wrestling Podcast. My name is Bill.
My name is Doug.
And we are two men in our 30s talking about professional wrestling. Both of us are awake. Both of us are still alive. Doug, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Bill. I am awake and alive, which is a good change for us.
Yeah. We're
maybe one of the two.
One of the two. And then also I think it helps that we're actually recording not a real person time.
And right.
We're actually corny in the daytime. It's light out.
Instead of when I have to work in like 3 hours and I just mm-hmm. worked like two overnight shifts.
Yeah.
It's yep. good times.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're doing kind of a thing that we do every now and then. Actually, I think it's probably every AEW pay-per-view now where we're doing mm-hmm. A little recap of the big event of the weekend. And of course I'm talking about the Control Your Narrative event, CYN, the Awakening Orlando, Doug. I know you went down there. You got one of the VIP tickets, but you said you were doing it for press reasons, even though you didn't get a press badge and you just paid way too much money for it. Doug, how was your experience at Control Your Narrative?
It was good. So,
Orlando.
So me and Cody just sat in the corner and just mm-hmm. kind of took it all in.
Mm-hmm.
Saw some interesting people walk by. But with my press pass, I'm not allowed to go into that quite yet.
They didn't give you a press pass. So, you know. You paid for a VIP ticket, like a mark. But now I remember the Twitter backlash that we all had to erase
right.
and delete because you're like, oh, this is great. And everyone's like, why are you there? Aren't you, you don't support this shit. And you're like, no, I'm part of the press. And like, do you have a press pass? And you're like, no. And then you're like, I'm still part of the press. They're like, no, you're not. You're a mark. And then I'm covering it for Prosperity.
It was good though.
It wasn't good, Doug. It sucked. Everyone. It was fucking hilarious. It fell on its ass. It literally shit its own bed.
I didn't see anything about it.
I just saw some things. Most of it was actually fallout from people who actually went. Like these like hanger-on fans that went and then they reported about it. And they got destroyed by people.
Was it wrestling? Was it talking? Mm-hmm. Like, okay.
No, it was an event. Don't want to give too much into it on
right,
it.
For
but
sure.
It was... There was, I'm looking at it, like, looks like six matches or so. There was maybe 80 people there from what I saw in pictures. It was an absolute shit show. And fucking Adam Scherr fucking kicked a kid as he flew over a barricade. So fucking Braun Strowman being fucking Braun Strowman.
Yeah. So hopefully that just shits the bed and goes away soon.
Yeah, well, they got one more show in Dallas during WrestleMania weekend. Yeah. So
just trying to stay around the same time big events are happening.
Yeah, for real, for reals. We're talking about the Revolution, the AEW pay-per-view that was just put on last night from Orlando, the Magic Kingdom. Doug, what's your overall feelings on the event? I assume you hated it because you did.
Overall, initially, I was disappointed. But once I look back, it was really good. I think what's getting me is All Out with those surprises. It just set the bar so high of what could happen at an AEW pay-per-view. So the matches were probably just as great as All Out. But then you had such awesome surprises throughout the whole night in like one of the biggest moments. My opinion of like AEW's career was that, you know, end of the match, Danielson, Cole. So it's kind of set the bar. So, but once I kind of get that, like, okay, I can't expect, you know, Claudio and all these huge names to show up every pay-per-view.
They still had names that showed up though.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I mean, Swerve and more importantly, Regal.
Yeah.
I mean, the Regal storyline is insane, or it can be insane. I'm with
That's
you.
That's probably though. My like, favorite
I was underwhelmed watching it, but I think a lot of that was because we had you and your family over, and like keeping track of the kids and keeping track of my goddamn dog that wanted to literally just sit in your lap the entire time. And like, so I wasn't really invested as I wanted to be. But it's one of those, like, I was thinking about it last night as I was going to bed. I was like, actually, that was an insanely amazing pay-per-view. From top to bottom, like even the two matches I was not looking forward to overproduced.
For sure.
The Jade Cargill match was easily Jade's best match. And it was probably one of Tay's best matches too, from my memory. But and then the AHFO match versus Andrade, or no, Jesus Christ, Darby, Sammy, and Sting was pretty damn good. It there were some weird things that didn't make any sense, like Andrade getting sleepy and wanting to take a nap on a table out of nowhere while Sting's just waiting to get up on something.
Where Sting's waiting above him. Yeah, that match I was not looking forward to at all. It's like, why are we making a tornado six-man tag? But then the second it started, it's like, oh yeah, so Sting doesn't have to, you know, sit in a ring the whole time. And so it seems like when they use Sting at his best in AEW is more of a situation like that, where it's not necessarily hardcore, but he's a lot to just roam around, no DQ style, you know.
Well, he's allowed to kick punch. He's allowed to kick punch and not take bumps. Mm-hmm. Right now, granted, yes, he did. He new jacked off of, you know, an entryway through, you know, a stack of tables, which is a definite bump. But he's not like just okay, you know, drop down, kip up, frog, you know, leapfrog.
It's not him one-on-one in the ring trying to keep up with Andrade and both look good. It's, you know, we can go out into the crowd and still look awesome.
Yep, pick our spots and take it from there. So, but yeah, no, that was a lot better than, except for also Butcher and Blade. They just set up. They kind of do some beat up. They set up little tables for Andrade to take his nap on and
then disappeared
and then just disappear. I like, they don't really, that's the problem I hate with the multi-man fuck around is that there's so much going on, and you got to give the wrestlers credit, you know, and the fact that they're not, you know, trying to step on each other's spots and stuff like that. And they're waiting for the, at least the red light on the camera to turn on before they do stuff. But it was just, there's so much things that we were missing like during it, but it was still a good match. We did the ballot. It was kind of post haste. I put it out in the morning. And we did have a winner. and this was for the Revolution ballot. This was the winner was Marcus Davis of Jacksonville, Florida. Marcus went perfect across the board. He picked every match right. He had 70 total points. Doug, you came in third, and your beautiful and talented wife came in second. So once again, neither one of us can beat your wife in this, but congratulations to Marcus on that. Thanks for everyone for joining in. We had a good chunk of people for us not doing anything with it
right
until like literally the morning of. So thanks for everyone for hanging in there with it and following along and doing all that cool, neat stuff. And congratulations to Marcus again.
I think a lot of people have fun with it. We actually had requests for it before you even put it up.
Mm-hmm.
Our friends over in England were looking forward to it. And then
yeah,
with our friends in Tennessee and Jacksonville. Yeah, we had a good time with it.
Yeah.
But once again, we cannot beat my wife.
Yeah, the person who cares the least amount. Yeah. other than maybe your daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. But yeah, it was fun. It was nice having you guys there as well. But congratulations again to Marcus on that. For taking the schizophrenic trip with us there, Marcus. And going back to it all, Doug, favorite match?
Favorite match. I'll steer off real quick. My favorite moment was Regal at the end of the Danielson Moxley match.
Definitely, definitely.
Not only for the pop of Regal coming in, but just the possibilities of what could happen with those three and whoever else they add to it.
Yeah, those three plus some.
Like, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Now we kind of missed most of that match live because
my son tried to kill your daughter.
Yeah. My daughter tried to take a bump through a table or something. I don't know.
Yeah. While piggybacking on my son.
But from what I saw from the match, it looked awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It looked violent. It looked exactly what it should have been. That was good. And when I kind of stumbled to like pick a favorite, it's not necessarily a bad thing. I think they all were, there's a lot of really good matches. Nothing stuck out, but not in a bad way. I think that just speaks for the overall like quality of the matches that were put on. It wasn't one of those where you have two amazing matches and a bunch of okay, crappy matches.
Oh, you mean like a WWE pay-per-view?
Right.
Where you have the one good main event with Roman Reigns doing a Roman Reigns match, and then everything else is just like, man, who gives a shit? And probably a good women's match as well.
Right.
But yeah. No, that's definitely the case. I thought top to bottom, everything was really good.
What was your favorite match?
It's probably, and this is probably because I hadn't seen all of the Moxie Danielson match like you, because our kids were dying, or your kid was dying. I would say it's probably the Kingston Jericho match was probably my favorite. Yeah. But again, that doesn't take away from any of the other ones. That Kingston Jericho was a nice All Japan pro wrestling 1990s match.
And that's exactly what it reminds you of. Because we've been watching some of those, especially that, I think our last episode, we talked about the Jumbo versus Misawa match.
Yep.
And how it's not pretty. It's not, you know, over the top, awesome moves. But it looks like they're out there just kicking the shit out of each other.
Yep.
And that's exactly what those two did.
Yeah, it's high angle back suplexes that you're going to land on your head. And everyone in the house when we were watching initially thought Chris Jericho died on the very first move.
Yeah, we thought they botched it and you know, Jericho broke his neck already, but
yeah,
watching the rest of the match, that's what they wanted it. That's what they
were. That's what they were doing. For.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was enjoyable.
Yeah. And Kingston finally got a win on pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
And he got it over Jericho. And this is one thing about Jericho. He's willing to put people over. He is.
Mm-hmm.
He understands it. That's kind of his job right now, is to get some guys who deserve to be over, get them that little push. So kudos to Jericho. Awesome to see Eddie,
mm-hmm.
you know, do things. But that was my favorite match by far. Or not by far, but that was overall my favorite match.
The pre-show was actually, so I missed half the pre-show, but because we were driving up mm-hmm. through the snow. But from what I saw, I mean, the hook match was exactly what it should have been. Just
mm-hmm. Well, we were thinking it was going like way too long. You know, that was right. A 5-minute match though.
It was only 5 minutes.
But yeah, it felt longer because I think all the other hook matches are only probably like 2.5 minutes. But right. Yeah, it was only a 5-minute match. But yeah, you know, the future booker of Ring of Honor. Oh wait, no, did you see that? Tony Khan says he's going to be booking. Oh, poor QT Marshall.
No.
And more importantly, poor Cody.
Poor
Cody. But that was pretty quick. The Layla Hirsch Statlander match, I watched that. That was a really good match. It was exactly what you wanted it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And Layla Hirsch got that victory via being a shitty heel, a dirty mm-hmm. Russian, a damn right. Dirty Russian. Hopefully, I have faith in TK that he's not going to do stupid shit with that, but
yeah, if it was Vince, it already would have been.
Vince, okay, so Vince made Miro, even though he's Bulgarian, he was Bulgarian, 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 and then he made Miro Russian really quick
mm-hmm.
for a WrestleMania. And then that was the tank entrance, like, you know, that kick-ass Miro entrance. He turned him fucking Russian just because of what was, you know, the ongoing escalades of what was happening, I think, in it was Crimea, and Syria. Like, Russia's involvement there, and we're like, oh, they're the baddies again. So, fuck, like, of course Vince would have fucking done that with Layla Hirsch. I guarantee you him and Bruce Pritchard are fucking trying to figure out, like, anyone who's like, oh, where are you from? Well, I'm from New York.
Which one of you can make Russian?
Yeah. Fucking just like Ivan Koloff. Or is it Ivan Koloff? No. God damn it.
Nikolai?
Nikolai Volkov. Because he's just a fucking, he's like a Irish, like, I think he's Irish or something like that. He was like an Irish cop and they made him Russian. Like, fuck.
Well, of course they did.
Of course they did. But anyway. It was a good match. Mm-hmm. House of Black versus Death Triangle was a way better match than what was on the Dynamite previous or whatever.
Yeah, because that match, like, all those guys are so good. And there's so much potential there, but that match sucked on Dynamite.
Yeah, it's all because Eric Redbeard showed up.
Yeah.
And honestly, Redbeard, he looked great. He really did.
He looked really fit. He looked great condition.
Better than anything I've ever seen him in WWE. Like, it, mm-hmm. you know, I wasn't the biggest anti Eric Rowan fan, but like, I was out of the Wyatt family, he was the one that always stood out of just being like, why mm-hmm. are you here? You know, right. But yeah, he was over and he looked awesome. There was that pile driver that Brody King threw on him.
That finish? God.
Oh.
Like, where it just killed him. Or
yeah.
It looked perfect, but like, it should have just killed Brody King, just picking up the monster of a man that was Eric Redbeard and just easily just picks him up and does that.
Yeah.
Was that also the match where, did Murphy do it? Someone went up for us. He was giving someone a suplex and then spins him mid-air into that stunner.
Oh, that's a Redbeard did that to like was yeah, I think Redbeard did that Redbeard. To Murphy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was cool.
It was like he spun him into like almost like a cutter or a, I've never seen that before.
Like, and it was so smooth. It just like it wasn't a weird stop spin. It was just like a fluid motion.
Yeah, that was cool. So I obviously hope Redbeard. Like, I mean, we need beef. We're obsessed with Beef Boys right now, but like
apparently.
I have no problem with Redbeard kind of coming on the roster, honestly. Like, it was a good showing for him, that's for sure.
Yeah, the AEW in general is kind of showing they're ready to give their Beef Boys a push and focus on them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, bring him in. He looks good.
Yeah. We already covered Kingston, Jericho. Mm-hmm. And then now we got the Jurassic Express Red Dragon versus Young Bucks match. It was a PWG three-way tag team match mm-hmm. with the Young Bucks.
Yeah.
Which it's not a bad thing. It was
great. I felt like you got to see a little more of the Young Bucks again, like a little Young Bucks of old. Yeah. You got to see, you know, some of their older moves. It was fun. It was kind of easy to predict the outcome and kind of what was going to happen, but that doesn't take anything away from the match. It was fun.
No.
I'm glad to see Red Dragon start to come into their own a little. When they first came in, they were just kind of drone-ish. They were just like no character, just coming in, being by Adam Cole, and now they got some charisma that everyone's kind of known they've had. Yeah, now they're what everyone's, you know, liked in the past from Japan, PWG, even some of their Undisputed days.
Oh yeah, when Undisputed Era first came out in NXT, I mean they were just shitty, you know, shit brick heels, and Kyle O'Reilly especially was just over the top stupid. Like, you just wanted to fucking punch that guy, and right. They're back, and it was fun. It was fun. I enjoyed that match. Like I said, it's a PWG style.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just fuck around and do spots, baby. And it was fun.
Yeah.
And once again, the Young Bucks have made Jurassic Express look really, really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and the commentators all night were on some shit. JR and Tony, they're just having the time of their life.
Or like slur, like
it went from like slurring. JR just like he wasn't wearing any socks.
About Don Callis.
Yeah,
JR was off. Tony was getting slap happy.
Yeah, he was just like over the top. Like he was sitting at home, you know, having some drinks, just
talking shit.
So about excited about a match.
Getting way too involved with Britt Baker.
He just talked the whole entire time, gave you Britt Baker's whole life story.
Yeah. And how he just wants to give her a big smooch.
Yeah.
Next was the Revolution, Face of the Revolution ladder match, which. That whole spot where who was it? Was it Wardlow and Hobbs holding the ladder and then Orange Cassidy doing that like kip up and almost getting the that was hell of a spot.
Was it after Orange Cassidy's Terry Funk spot where he had the ladder on his head, spun around in circles?
Yeah, the classic Terry Funk spot. But was so that before? I thought that was at before that.
And then I think one.
Or did they just both grab it?
And so then after he was done spinning, like a Beef Boy on each side grabbed the ladder, started picking it up.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of went with it. But then I did it. Isn't that when he did his weird flipped up under and over the ladder and tried to grab the ring?
He kipped up and tried to get it. Like that was cool. Wardlow winning made perfect sense. Mm-hmm. Have no problem with Wardlow winning. Wasn't my pick, but I have no problem with it. Makes the most sense.
For sure.
But everyone looked really good in that. Christian Cage looked great. Like, even though he really wasn't that prominent in the match, he looked good. Starks was awesome. The beef was great. And Orange was better than I was expecting. I'll put it there.
Yeah, he did some moves you necessarily haven't seen in ladder matches before that made it enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. Jade and Tay Conti. Jade, I'm getting on the train.
Oh yeah.
She's really good. You were too busy getting all the hot dogs, eating all those hot dogs during
that match. Oh, this match is gonna be horrible.
Yeah, no, it was, but Jade definitely has something. She's gotten her in-ring is still meh, but she's got the confidence. We were talking about, you know, she's trying to be confident in the ring, but something's just not clicking, or at least not to us. Where she's a little nervous, she's done. She's got it. Like, her entrance was amazing. The way she worked with Conti was really good.
I think a key thing has been she's slowed down a little in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like there's some times where it was just like a little rushed to throw in my power moves and show just how powerful I am, instead of just like, I noticed with this, it was like she slowed down a little. She still performed those moves, but it was a little more polished. It was a little, they're both kind of collected and, you know, went through the motions instead of just trying to rush. The nerves are gone. The confidence is there.
Mm-hmm. And Tay worked great with her. Like, Tay Conti's definitely one of their better wrestlers. And
for sure.
On the, in the women's division, that's for sure.
Jade also had the first successful instrumental entrance in AEW.
Yes. Live performance that didn't sound like shit, or people be right. Like, I don't like this. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And yeah, it was Christone Kingfish Ingram. Fantastic. Yeah, it actually sounded good. It was in rhythm. It was right. It wasn't that dipshit from fucking Fozzy or fucking Cody's boys. Mm-hmm. Cody's entrance was, when he had his live band, was really, really bad too. And that was, I don't even remember when that was, but it wasn't good. Well, then we have the dog collar match, Doug.
Mm-hmm. What'd you think? I thought it was great.
I really, really liked it. I have a quabble with it, but overall, I really liked it. My quabble with it is that, and this is my, you know, overall issue with the mat, with the pay-per-view. It lasted forever.
Okay.
That match was, I felt that match could have gone a little quicker. I liked how they used the chain. I liked the back and forth. I liked, there are certain spots that were the exact spots from Piper Valentine 83, including the very beginning when they pull themselves apart and they're kind of getting that tension on it. Mm-hmm. Another one when like Punk's wrapping the chain around the post and kind of doing a pulley system of strangling. There was also a Bret Hart versus Roddy Piper WrestleMania. I want to say it's 6, but it's the one that's in the Hoosier Dome for the Intercontinental Belt. There's a spot for that. Like, there are certain things that I really liked about it, but it went 25 minutes.
From bell to bell, that was a 25-minute match.
25 minutes.
Damn.
That, I mean, and it really drained. It seemed like it drained the crowd. Like, and from our perspective, like the crowd, it's not like the crowd wasn't into it, but like after that match, it took forever for that crowd to get back up. And that was namely towards the main event. Mm-hmm. Whereas when they really, really started getting back up, it just, it was over 5 hours of wrestling last night.
Right.
That's a lot of wrestling. And so, and I think if you cut that, you know, 5-10 minutes, it would have been an absolutely perfect match. I love the ending. How could you not love the ending? Mm-hmm. You know, how could you not like Punk going back to ROH roots?
Right.
You know, coming out to AFI and everything like that. And it was fantastic as far as that's concerned.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I didn't realize it was that long. I don't know if it was trying to distract my 4-year-old daughter while she's eating dinner and finally starting to watch wrestling that night and during the bloodiest match.
Yeah.
So constantly trying to get her to distracted. But no, I thought it was good. We've been teased with the Wardlow MJF turn for
at least 6 months.
6 months. And even, I mean, there's even years. Been a tease from the second MJF was introduced with MJF. There's always a little bit of tension in how he treated him.
Yeah.
So
like a big dumb goof.
Yeah. And he's always had that, you know, he's always gave off that vibe. So it's cool to, you've been wondering when it was actually going to happen. So mm-hmm. It was cool to see it happen last night. And now you don't, now he's, that feud will probably start. And I'd assume drag out until Double or Nothing. Cause you probably, first you'll see Wardlow go into the match against Sammy.
Actually, I don't think it's going to be Sammy.
You think Scorpio Sky is going to...
Yeah.
Scorpion.
Scorpion Sky. Our boy Scorpion Sky. Doug, see, it's daytime. You can't be fucking up like this.
I know. I'm still thinking about Sting.
Sting. Sting.
So you think they'll have Sky beat Sammy to then lose a week later to Wardlow?
So dumb fantasy booking time, ladies and gentlemen. I think Sammy loses the belt for during the Scorpio Sky match. I think Paige Van Zandt is a reason why Scorpio wins, creates a feud with Tay Conti, and then
yes,
and then kind of moves that, and then that way you also have a heel TNT champion for Wardlow to beat, and then he has the TNT championship going into Double or Nothing against MJF.
Nice. Makes sense.
Probably the most disappointing match of the night, in my opinion, Britt versus Thunder Rosa. I hated the ending. I wasn't that big of a fan of the match itself. I thought I was screaming at Britt a lot during that match, literally calling her Shawn Michaels. She was moving heavy. She wasn't moving right. Thunder Rosa wasn't moving as well as she normally can. It felt like they were trying to sabotage each other to a point. And then it was just a dumb fuck finish. And that match was fucking 17 minutes.
Yeah.
Once again, you can cut it by 7 minutes and it would be, I mean, the match would still be disappointing. And I know why they're doing what they're going to do, but I'm going to.
For sure. But it made them both look bad, in my opinion. We've talked over the episodes. Haven't been the biggest fan of her in-ring work, Britt Baker's. Mm-hmm. Her charisma, her promos, you know, awesome. But her in-ring work, I've always thought was weak and just, yes, she's had her moments with certain individuals where they look really good and put on good matches. And I expected Thunder Rosa to be that match where they look good. But I think after it was over, we kind of found out maybe part of the reason why.
Yeah.
I think that's what you were going to go into next.
Yeah. I mean, it's the simple, easy thing of where the year anniversary for, from the Lights Out match. Whoa, Jeebus.
You right there, buddy?
Yeah, buddy. I'm fine. The year anniversary for the Lights Out match, you know, the best match of the year, according to Pro Wrestling Illustrated, is in San Antonio, which is Thunder Rosa's hometown. And so she's going to fight Leila Hirsch to get a chance at the belt again in her hometown and win it there. But if that's the case, then why the fuck would they even have this match in the first place last night?
Yeah, just move your Britt, Jamie Hayter, Mercedes Martinez, Thunder Rosa match to the pay-per-view. Make it smaller. I mean, I know you want to have that match on the pay-per-view, but if that's your plan in 2 weeks from now to switch the title in the same exact match.
It feels weird. Like, I think the idea is you always want your titles or your championships. You want them to be defended at every pay-per-view, especially if you only have four pay-per-views a year. So I understand you having Britt defend, but there's a way around it. And I don't know. It just really underserved both. It really underserved Thunder Rosa, which I think is why I wasn't a big fan of the match. Mm-hmm. And it didn't do anything for Britt. And it didn't definitely ingratiate Britt to me anymore. I assume.
I saw there was a lot of backlash on social media in general today about Britt Baker. Just everyone turning all of a sudden.
Really? I haven't seen anything necessarily on Britt. Well, I saw things more along the lines of like, it's kind of how we feel about it. How we felt about it last night, where it's just like, well, this kind of sucks. Like, let's get this over with already. Right. You know?
The things I saw were people, it was just the stupid trolls of the social media of, oh, all of you people a year ago were saying put the belt on Britt Baker. Now a year later, you know, you're just dissing her for.
Yeah, fuck those people. Just,
yeah.
Like, literally, like, they need to find, like, those fucking people all need to find large 50-gallon plastic barrels filled with hydrochloric acid and accidentally. Waste of fucking oxygen and of my broadband. Mox Danielson, we covered already the possibilities of Regal, having Regal in AEW, which is something that my dumbass completely forgot about. Regal,
yeah, for sure.
It was such an insane surprise to me, and I was so excited about this.
And they brought him in, and I thought a perfect way. It wasn't a, here's Regal, he's going to come out and smile and wave, and he's now going to be part of the backstage.
Or introduce him as the new commissioner. Like, yeah, our new commissioner, right. You know, Lord Steven Regal.
Yeah. But instead, he just comes out with that. You've said it before that he's got the best facial expressions in the business, and he just came out. The second he came out of the back, he just had the expression, just marched to the ring, you know, slaps the shit out of Moxley, slaps the shit out of Danielson, because, you know, they're fighting each other after the match, you know, mm-hmm. makes him shake his hand and said, you know, let's go talk about this. Yeah. And instantly, your just head is churning of, so my theory before is, let's bring in Claudio Cesaro, and we get Regal, but Cesaro or Claudio also has a huge tie to William Regal.
Yeah, like Regal was a huge mentor to Mox in the developmental scene.
Mm-hmm.
When he was in FCW, he was huge into that. There's a, like I was telling you last night, there's a Mox Regal match that I think is in FCW, and it's like the old FCW like barn that they're wrestling in. That's really, really good. He's been a mentor to Mox throughout everything, including when Mox was leaving. he was a huge mentor. There's a picture of him, of Regal and Mox watching one of the GCW Josh Barnett Bloodsport WrestleMania weekend. And this was okay. As Mox was planning on leaving. And then obviously, you know, we've covered the main influence for Danielson was Regal, and fuck, he name dropped Regal. Danielson name dropped fucking Regal even. And
like a week or two in the ago,
last
right?
couple promos. Yeah. Last couple promos ago. And we didn't even fucking pick up on it. We're so fucking dumb. and then Claudio, Regal's last professional match was against mm-hmm. Claudio in NXT in 2013. We covered that.
13. Yeah, we watched that match. Yeah. And the biggest storyline of that match was just that, like, I'm going against my mentor and student mm-hmm. versus teacher type of match.
And how Claudio was he was heel and going pure violence and then had a soft spot and mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's and then whoever else joins them, like a young talent, maybe a female, hopefully a female. Mm-hmm. Like if I can get Garcia in that group, because that would be my obvious choice, would be Garcia. Lee Moriarty could, but I want Garcia. And if we can get Layla Hirsch Layla Hirsch could be the other violent member.
So. I think that's who we both said we want female wise. We wanted to join with them.
It makes the most sense to me.
Yeah.
So she's a shooter that shows that has a nasty side to her. Mm-hmm. Perfect. So I think we covered the six man. All right. I mean, Andrade got sleepy, fell asleep on some tables. Grandpa Sting jumped 15 feet off of an entryway,
put his head through a table.
Darby got a pin.
Darby had some insane jumps. Butcher flung him around into some bleachers. Your man Sammy may have killed Isaiah Cassidy.
Yep.
That match definitely beat all expectations of what I expected mm-hmm. for. Had a lot of fun spots. Yeah.
But it was a good match. It was fun. It was a nice break in everything because between you had, you know, a fun match with Jade. You had blood feud with CM Punk. You had another blood feud with, you know, Thunder Rosa. And then you literally had another blood feud with Moxley and Danielson. Like those three matches were all, you know, they're technical. They're wrestling. And then it was fun just to throw in a clusterfuck again. Right. And then we go into Hangman versus Adam Cole. In an Adam Cole NXT match.
What did you think of Adam Cole's ring entrance attire, Bill?
Fucking hell. What the fuck? Like, when did he become Johnny Gargano? And being like, I know he's done the gaming thing and he's done the gaming Twitch stuff and he's part, you know, the up, up, down, down, up, or whatever the Xavier Ooh. Woods universe is. I know that. I'm very well aware of that. And it's a huge part of his life and all that shit. But why the fuck is he coming out in this insanely shitty Master Chief, like shoulder pad setup? Like, and what's funny is that you didn't know what the fuck it was.
I had no clue.
My family didn't know what the fuck it was. And I barely knew what it was just because like I almost bought Halo once. Like, and I'm not knocking gamers, like I'm kind of a dumb little gamer, like I'm just not super gamer boy.
Yeah, and I enjoy it. I've just never
I'm bad at first person shooters, so that's why I never got
I'm gonna Halo. Sound like, stupid. Halo's been exclusive to Xbox, correct?
Yes, it is the it is the Xbox game,
and I've always had PlayStation, so therefore I've never played Halo.
Yeah, it was Money. Halo and Gears of War. And Gears of War is a fucking hell of a game. I really like Gears of War, which I think eventually came out to some Sony platform.
Yeah.
Eventually. But
I just bought Red Dead 2, Bill, for my PlayStation 4.
Did you finally?
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to love it. I'm on my third playthrough of it.
Are you? I'm still pretty early on. I played it, you know, an hour or two, which doesn't get you very far, but it's still fun because you play 2 hours and then it's like scene two. You're like, oh shit.
Oh yeah, you're in the chapter two. So you're in barely the chapter going two already.
Anywhere. I think so. Yeah.
But no, yeah, you're gonna love it. Like I said, I'm on my third playthrough.
Nice.
Of it. And they just kind of dink around and you'll love it. Like it's probably like the most relaxing game, or it can be. I mean, you can do pretty much whatever you want in it. And yeah, so cool.
Sorry to go off on a tangent.
No. Well, no, because Hangman Adam Page is a cowboy.
Yes.
And for a while there, and he even did on a BTE sketch, he even does a Red Dead Redemption 2 sketch on BTE. Yes.
That's awesome.
He does the Lenny sketch. You'll come across it here pretty soon, I think. But yeah, he does the Lenny sketch. He had Red Dead Redemption style shirts at one point. And yeah, so it makes sense. We did all right, Doug.
We did good.
But yeah, overall, the match, I didn't hate the match. I don't like Adam Cole. I hate Adam Cole wrestling.
You're back to hating Adam Cole's wrestling again?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it wasn't, in my opinion, it was an NXT main event where it was finisher. Oh, he kicked out. Oh, dramatic. Like you either look glazed over or, you know, you Johnny Gargano glazy eyes, or you're so shocked. Mm-hmm. You know, it's fucking HBK. It's HB fucking K. And I can't watch Adam Cole right now without seeing fucking Shawn Michaels fucking wonky ass eye behind it. Like, so Paige did great though. Loves me my Paige. The gear for Adam Page. We all kind of took note on it. Did you know what it was for? Because I actually found out. So in Florida, and I didn't know this, but I assumed it had something to do with this. Or specifically, there's a piece of legislation that's going on in the state of Florida that is fucking shit and horrible. And it is essentially what they're calling is the Don't Say Gay law, which is teachers are forbidden or going, or the if legislation passed, teachers will be forbidden to bring up or represent anyone in the LGBTQ plus. It's a matter of not talking about it.
It's just doesn't exist.
Well, yeah, it's
we move.
Oh. Yeah, we do. You just don't. There's no clubs. There's no talking about it. There's no. It's essentially kind of the idea of like critical race theory, like the anti-critical race theory bullshit, which we don't need to go into, because I can do that for about a fucking hour and a half. But it's so. Hangman comes out.
He was his multicolored tassels hanging off his vest and gear. I figured it had to have a meaning.
Yeah, and I thought it might have had something to do with the Orlando shooting that happened ages ago at the LGBTQ club. I thought that's what it had to do with, but no, it was about that. And before that, before Hangman went full time as a wrestler, but before he became literally in Bullet Club and Ring of Honor, he was a teacher. Yep. He was a high school teacher who taught journalism and graphic design. So that's obviously two things that are pretty important to him. And once again, he's the sweetest fucking boy champion out there. And more Adam Page, less fucking control your narrative. So.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. So what did you think of the Hangman match?
I thought it was good. It was kind of what I was expecting. Good back and forth with eventually Red Dragon's going to come out, try to help him out. For stupid fantasy booking purposes, I was waiting for the Young Bucks to come out. because they're pissed from whatever happened earlier in the night. And then I was hoping that Adam Cole was gonna single in Jay White, and then for whatever reason Kenny was gonna come out. So I was caught off waiting for that. But no, I made on the drive there, my wife's like, oh, for whatever reason, we completely forgot that he's been hanging out with the Dark Order. So why are the Young Bucks and Kenny going to come out? Because he's not with the Elite anymore. So the Dark Order's going to come out. Like, yeah. No, that's not going
to happen. No, he's moving on. He's moving
Kenny
on.
Kenny and Jay White are coming. Yeah.
Yeah. Give me Bullet Club stuff. I need more Bullet Club stuff. I need more Bullet Club shirts. I need more Nasty Boy shirts.
I have one too many.
We have, yeah, Doug was sporting his Nasty Boys t-shirt that he got from Pro Wrestling Crate.
Mm-hmm.
God, what a shitty shirt.
Which gave me the worst shirt I have, but then it also gave me maybe my second favorite shirt. And that was Hangman Page.
That's a cool Hangman Shredder shirt. Yeah.
Which didn't make much sense. My favorite part of the shirt is like, so it's got the Ghost Rider flames riding a motorcycle and all that, which is all right. But then the background was like weird, like mountains and a moon and kind of
had that,
like a cowboy style.
Yeah, it was the kind of airbrushed looking, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has a couple really cool shirts and he has some okay shirts, I think. But it's nowhere as shitty as almost anything that WWE is putting out right now. They have one that is just like, it's I forgot her name. We thought she was in NXT still, but she's not. Oh, Aaliyah.
Oh,
yeah, she has like the Aaliyah like 317 shirt.
She has a shirt.
What's that?
She has a shirt.
Yeah, she has a shirt, and it's just the Austin 316 looking shirt, but it's like in like really shitty like blue gradient that looks like from PowerPoint, like the original PowerPoint, like Word Impact fonts bullshit. Mm-hmm. Like it, WWE, man, they're really fucking up. That's all I have to say about that.
But I heard they did have a awesome main event at Madison Square Garden. Brock Lesnar's surprise opponent.
Oh God, you mean Austin Theory?
Yeah. I would have been so pissed if I was sitting there waiting. You're in the front row waiting for some special guest and Austin Theory walks out.
And it's awesome. It's fucking allegedly a groomer, Austin Theory. That's why we have AEW. And that's why we're going to have Ring of Honor, and Impact's doing some pretty cool stuff.
Right. But at the same time, cut you off.
No, go for it.
And if you like WWE, that was just fine. Like what you want. The best thing about wrestling right now is there is so many promotions, platforms, things out there. So if WWE isn't your cup of tea, like it's not mine at the moment, you got AEW, Japan, hopefully Ring of Honor, and you know, you got all these other things you can watch and enjoy.
Oh, and also a plethora of everything on YouTube, like All Japan and Noah and you know, All Japan Women, and I'm gonna probably go on a weird Chikara kick here very soon.
I need to.
They have an official channel on YouTube. I went through a stint with it a couple years ago. Anyway, well, I think we should probably close it on up there, Douglas. You're heading off to Atlanta. You're gonna go to the Nightmare Factory.
Yeah.
Talk to your boy. Hang out
with QT.
Yeah. Talk to your boy Cody. Get some ribs and Chinese food from the Abdullah's food court.
Go hang out with Abdullah the Butcher.
Did you say Odula?
I think I did. Take two. Abdullah the Butcher in Atlanta, Georgia.
In Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah.
Going down to Savannah, Charleston, South Carolina.
How's the weather supposed to be? Have you looked?
Rainy.
Well, I'd much rather have rainy. It's supposed to be cold as fuck here. Like when you guys are flying out. Yeah, when you guys are flying out, it's supposed to be like high of like 20.
There's supposed to be a bad storm that night, so we're a little worried.
Yeah. I mean, at least you'll be on a beach.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, both locations are close to a beach. Mm-hmm. A lot of food.
Yeah, a lot of probably really good food. Probably a lot of fat food.
Yeah. Fat food. That's basically what we've looked at so far is we have every restaurant planned out.
Yeah, that's good, man.
And it all looks really delicious and really unhealthy.
Yeah, that's what vacation's for. So awesome.
But I'm starting the gym up when I get back.
Fair enough. Yeah, I need to probably do that too. I'm a tubby piece of shit. We are going to have our regular episode coming this week as well with people on it. That's not Doug, but it will be me. So keep an eye out there. And
thanks to everyone for participating in our fun revolution prediction forum. I know we always have a lot of time. Thanks Bill for putting that on. Come follow us over at Twitter, say hi to us. AI Pro Wrestling.
IA.
Not too much on
what I IA Pro Wrestling.
IA Pro Wrestling.
There we go.
On Instagram and Facebook and Patreon. It's All Pro Wrestling. And go check out our awesome logos that Bill made. We have those over at whatamaneuver.net. Great site, great merch over there. Go check it out. You'll find a link in our bios and on Linktree.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna.
Yeah.
See ya. See ya when I want to be ya.
Hard hit or something else.
Make movies.
Hey, at least to pump in that Goldberg chant. A lot of people don't know that. I know that.